Good morning and welcome to our worship service here at the First Union African Baptist Church. Today is Sunday, March the 29th. It is the fifth Sunday in the month, which ordinarily in this church would be a time where we have a special musical guest and we have a fellowship meal afterwards, a truly joyous day of fellowship and worship together. Once again, we are doing things a little bit differently. Thanks to COVID-19 and the quarantine efforts to keep this thing at bay. So we will once again do the best that we can to worship together while we are apart. And so let us start with our call to worship today. Our call comes from the 18th Psalm, verses 30 and 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? This is the word of the Lord as we start our worship service this morning. And let us go to the Lord in prayer as well. Father, thank you for simply allowing us to gather. Even though we are apart, we are together united by the bonds of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, as we incline our hearts to worship this day, this morning, right now, let us do so realizing that we are coming together. Let us do so remembering that we are all members of the same family, no matter what might separate us, whether that be distance or time. We are all in you, with you, for your Holy Spirit abides in all of us. So Lord, this day, incline our hearts to you. Help us make a joyful noise to you. Help us to worship you fully and completely, for you are the only one worthy to sit upon the throne. Father, we ask this, and we pray this fervently in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, well, again, welcome. Glad you could be following along at home, a safe distance away, as we do our social distancing thing. Again, this is something we're going to have to continue for a while, this online service effort. I don't know how long. That is not in my control. Ultimately, it's in God's control, and our authorities will let us know that when it's okay for us to once again gather in groups and worship. And all I can say is I really look forward to that day. Those of you that have been longtime worshipers here in this church know what joy I take from worshiping with you here in this building. It's a passion of mine, and it's something that I was called to do, and I am grateful for that. And this time apart really just sort of tears at my soul and causes me to wonder what joy it will be when we all come back together again. Our time will be different, and we don't know how long. It is clear at this point that our Holy Week services will be thoroughly disrupted by this. Again, that means that what we'll need to do is, while worshiping together in spirit, we must worship individually, and we should do so throughout the day. The fact that we cannot come together in this church does not mean that God's church ceases to exist. It means that, in fact, what I encourage us to do every Sunday, which is to take this worship service as a time to prepare us for going out into the world. Well, we're out in the world. It just so happens that our world is our home. But our homes need to be a place of constant worship of God anyway. And so perhaps this is part of the break that God needed us to have, to incorporate our worship of God into our home lives more. So I pray that you will be spending more time in his word, and I pray that you'll be spending more time in prayer with him. And I pray that you'll be spending more time reflecting on how God is calling you to be a productive member of his kingdom. I mentioned last week that we obviously won't be passing a plate around, taking up an offering. We do have needs that are arising slowly, but they will certainly build our good neighbor fund, and our food pantry will be put to the test, no doubt, as more people face the financial strain of this. We already have people using the food pantry. You can handle some of your giving online if you go to our webpage, and you can do that. But as I always do, I want to challenge you to think in terms of what you can give to God's kingdom that doesn't come out of your bank account, because God has poured out abundant blessings upon each and every one of you uniquely. You don't share the same blessings because God made you all different to fulfill a different purpose. You were given those blessings to glorify his kingdom, to glorify him. And so I just want to encourage you, spend time, because you have more time, reflecting on what God's call for you is, how he wants to use your gifts, and develop a plan for using those gifts, whether it's something that you can do while still being socially distancing, or if it's something you need to roll out once these quarantine status has been lifted and we can get back out into society freely. Whatever it is, that's between you and God, but I want to encourage you to be thinking about how to be using gifts that God has given you to glorify His kingdom. Prayer requests is something else that I am definitely missing from having you all here, because it was so easy to get all of you involved in the lives of our fellow worshipers as we saw whose hands went up and whose prayer requests were lifted up. I want to encourage you to send me your prayer requests. You can either call me, many of you have my number. You can send me an email at aaron@fuabchurch.org. Whatever it takes, get me your prayer requests. And if you'd like, I'll be happy to share them with other members of the church as well. We need to be praying for one another. And that leads me to my final point, and that is that in this time where we are called to be distancing ourselves from one another, it is even more important that we be reaching out to one another. Phone calls, emails, texts, driving past somebody's yard and just shouting out a hello. Whatever it takes, check on your neighbors, check on other church members, check on family members, check on people that are within your circles. Just let them know that you're there. Let them know that they're loved. And if in the process of checking on them, you find out that there is a need that they have that maybe the church can fill, let me know what that is so that we can continue to be the hands and feet of Christ, even though we're called to be sitting on our hands and feet at home. So with that, let's do the best that we can to continue on with our worship. And so our reading for today comes from Matthew's Gospel, the 25th chapter. It's a long reading. It's verses 14 through 30, but it will be a familiar reading to many of you, for it is the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled the accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other five. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the third man, who had received 1 bag of gold, came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is God's word for God's people. And so as we prepare to carry forth that word of God into our message for today, would you please just pray along with me? Lord, as we prepare for this message, I simply ask that your will be done. There are words in my mind and in my mouth, but Father, I pray that your words be the ones that come out. And Father, there are thoughts that go through our minds as we think about what we hear. But Lord, I simply pray that how we think would reflect your will. And Father, our hearts will lead us astray. And so this morning, Lord, I pray that they will be inclined towards you so that they would indeed cry out as well. May your will be done. Thank you, Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And so if we reflect back on this parable of the talents that we just heard, it is one where there is a particular blessing handed out, if you will, an asset that the master has that he gives out to his servants to be stewards of. And it just so happens that he hands them gold. Now, I want to start out with a very basic point in all of this, and that is that these servants did not come to the master asking for gold. They weren't asking for anything from the servant. It was from the master. It was the master's decision to hand his gold to these servants and entrust it to them to do with according to his will. And so I don't want to miss that point. I think it's important that we understand from the very beginning that God will pour out blessings when we're not asking for them. And in this instance, it was gold. Now, I find it curious that nobody would reject being handed gold. I think that taps into this inner sinful part of ourselves that wants more that we have, that seeks material good. And so if somebody hands us gold, we're not going to say, oh, what do you want me to do with it? We are first and foremost going to be grateful that somebody has entrusted us with it. It's not like if somebody handed you a bag of trash and your first response would be, what would you want me to do with this? Do you really want to give me trash? If somebody gives you gold, you're just going to accept it and be thankful for it. But clearly, these folks were understanding that there was something that their master wanted them to do with it. He was entrusting it to them to do with in keeping with who he was. The second thing I want us to take a look at is that he did not give to each one equally. He gave to one servant 5 bags. He gave to another servant 2 bags. And he gave to a third servant just 1 bag. In our era of fairness, it would be easy for us to decry that as being unfair. Scripture points out that the master gave to each according to their ability. What he is saying there is that these 3 servants, when it came to handling the blessing of gold and the expectation that comes with it, they are not equal. Now, we have to address this notion of fairness. It is something that creeps into our society. We want there to be fairness at all levels. That's an inner want that defies logic and reasoning. And I can point that out to you very simply by saying this. When you are experiencing stomach pains and you feel a need to go and see the doctor, you do not go to a lumberjack. You recognize that a lumberjack is skilled at falling trees. You recognize that an internist might have a better idea of what's going on with your stomach. And so according to their ability, you go to them. Similarly, if you have a tree that is looking like it's going to fall on your house and it's in a precarious position, you do not go to that internist and ask them to remove the tree. You go to the lumberjack. We recognize that people have different abilities, and therefore we ask them to use their abilities to the best that they can, but we do not assume that they are the same ability. Men and women are different. God made us different. We are biologically different. And as much as we like to think that all are created equal, that does not mean that we are all called to do the same things. A man, no matter how fit he is, no matter how smart he is, no matter how brave he is, will never be able to give birth. We can't do it. And that is because women were created to be able to do that, not men. It is a different ability, and we should never try to ensure that we are the same in terms of our abilities. That's not the way we were designed, and we know that. So even though we see these bags being handed out 5 to 1, 2 to another, and 1 to the other, we need to let go of the notion of fairness that we hold and acknowledge that from God's point of view, it makes perfect sense to allocate resources in keeping with different abilities. And so that's what's going on, and here's where the story gets interesting. The master goes away, having entrusted his servants with his gold, and he comes back a long time later. We don't know how much longer. The scripture just says after being gone a long time. And so when he returns, he is coming to hold his servants accountable for what they have done with the blessings that he handed to them, that he entrusted to them. The first servant comes back to him and says, "You gave me five. Here are five more." And he hands over 10 bags of gold. The master is pleased with this. He responds, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Well, the second servant comes forward, and the servant who has only been entrusted with 2 bags of gold presents his master with 2 additional bags of gold. "Here are the 4 bags of gold that I have for you." The first presented an additional 5. The second presents only 2. However, the master is still overjoyed with his ability to take what he was given and use it to profit the master. And so the reward is exactly the same. The same reward for bringing 2 extra bags as it was for bringing 5 extra bags. He replies, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Exactly the same reward as the servant who brought back 5 extra bags received. Now, lest we think that all who were entrusted and return a bag or something along those lines to the master is going to receive an equal reward, we see that the third servant comes back. And having been entrusted with just 1 bag of gold, he only comes back with 1 bag of gold. He did not multiply it in any way, shape, or form. He did not add to it in any way, shape, or form. In fact, what he reveals when speaking to his master is that out of concern for the master's hard-driving ways, the fact that the master profits from things that he didn't produce, gathers crops that he didn't plant, and from seed that he did not scatter. In other words, what he's revealing is that the master expects that he will be able to profit from the work of others, such as this servant. He says, "I didn't want to lose your gold, and so I simply buried it." That's not the response that the master was looking for. The gift was given so that it would be put to work, that it would be multiplied. And as a result, this servant who says, "I was so afraid of who you were that I didn't want to lose it, so I simply buried it," has squandered the gift, did not put it to use at all. It is almost as if he rejected the gift and simply decided a long time later to hand it back and say, "Here's your gift. I never wanted it in the first place." And so the master has a rather harsh and unequivocal response to this servant. Essentially, what he's saying is, "You knew what kind of a guy I was. You knew that I was expecting that you would put this to work and that you would profit it for me. But you chose not to. Knowing who I am, and let's make no mistake about it, you all know who I am because I've been your master, you still didn't do what I expected you to do. And as a result of that, having received the gift and not putting it to use, having been entrusted with it and not done what his master desired, he is instead cast out into the darkness. The one that he still has is taken from him and it is given to the one who has many. And instead of being invited into his master's warmth and comfort, into his master's rest, he is thrown out into darkness, whereas the wailing and gnashing of teeth gets a hold of him. So what does God's word through this story have to do with us today? Well, I think that's a good and important question to understand, because we find ourselves in this strange time of the COVID-19 quarantine, if you will, where God has shaken up all of our schedules. We all had plans, and God just kind of crumpled that day planner up in his hands and threw it aside. What that says to me is that what God is giving us today is the gift of time. We didn't ask for it. Although so many of us have said on many occasions, "I wish I had more time to do this. If only I had another hour in the day, I'd do that." We have made passing comments about the desirability of having more time in our schedules, but we didn't ask God for more time. He simply looked down, and I think he saw something that was needed in our society, and he said, time for a little shakeup. Here it goes. I am going to give you more time. And much like these three servants that we see in the parable of the talents, the time hasn't really been given to us equally. I think if we think about it, while we all still have 24 hours in the day, the reality is some people who had jobs no longer have them. And so all of the time that was being consumed with going to work, they now have available for something else. For some, they've been told it's time to work from home, telecommute. Well, they no longer have any kind of commuting time that they're consuming. They have all of that time back. They don't have to go to meetings. They have a lot of free time that was otherwise consumed with being in an office or a place of work doing business, and they have that time back. For students, well, they no longer have the time spent going to and back from school. They no longer have the time that they needed to have going from one class to another. They're more effective with their time, more efficient. And so they have all gathered more time in their hands. For those that had after-school activities that have now been canceled, again, more time in their hands. For those who have been retired and had a regular social calendar filled with gatherings and events, well, those were all canceled. And so what we see is that we have all been given, for the most part, more time. I realize that there are some rare exceptions. There are the people that are out on the front lines, those essential workers that we are all so very grateful for, who continue working at their job and probably harder than ever before. But for the rest of us, we have some amount of time on our hands, some more, some less, but all of us now trying to figure out what it is that we would do with this time. And so with that, having our slate cleared, if you will, the distraction pulled away, we have to understand that with this gift of time, just as with the gift of gold that God, the master, gave to his servants, there is an expectation of what we do with this time. Now, it's important that you understand something about time. And if we use a comparison to money, the gold in that case, a dollar today is worth less than it was 100 years ago. Thanks to inflation, you just don't have the same buying power with a dollar. And so if you were to bury a dollar in the dirt and pull it out sometime later, it has diminished in value. Well, if we were to take 2 hours of our time and bury it in the dirt, we have no way of knowing if that is going to be still available to us later on. We don't know how much time we have left. All we know is that 1 minute from now, we have 1 minute less to live. Therefore, any time that we bury now is diminishing. It may evaporate if we don't put it to use as soon as we get it. Time is precious. It's more precious than gold, frankly. And so we need to understand that when we get a gift of time, God is giving it to us with the expectation that we put it to use and make the best use of it. And just as with the expectation that when the gold was given to the servants, that the gold would be put to use to the benefit of the master, God's gift of time to us right now is given with the expectation that we will use it to somehow glorify him. So what does that look like? Well, frankly, one of the places that we all could benefit from having more time is time spent with God. If we want to glorify God with the gift of time, let's spend it in his word. Let's read his holy scriptures. Let's get to know him better through his word. Let's use it in prayer. For all those people that never had time to pray, now you do. So get down on your knees, spend time in prayer with God. Pray without ceasing. This whole notion of not having enough time to spend with God because we are so busy going and watching a football game, so busy and going out for dinner with friends, so busy with too much time commuting back and forth from work, that's all gone. And so those excuses are gone. And so as God has given us the gift of time, let us use that gift wisely and spend it with Him. Perhaps we need to be spending time with our families. God is not glorified by families that are in tatters. And so perhaps this gift of time is meant for us to be able to restore relationships, to invest in our families, to spend time nurturing a relationship with a spouse, to repairing a broken relationship with our children, to keeping in touch with our parents. This gift of time, time that we didn't used to have, is now available to us. And that brings to mind the Harry Chapin song, Cats in the Cradle, where this father is always so busy at work and his young son simply wants to spend time with his father. And his father keeps telling him, I don't have time to spend with you right now, but the son continues to want to be just like his father. And so as the son gets older and the father gets older and the son begins to take on more responsibilities and the father's responsibilities begin to decrease, the father starts to want to spend time with his son. But the son, having been consumed with all of the things that had consumed the father when he was younger, no longer has time for the father. They ran out of time for each other. It's a sad state of a relationship between a father and a son. Well, guess what? We have been given the gift of time. And so if there is a family relationship that you need to invest in, do so. Because God is glorified in healthy families. God is glorified in healthy relationships. When we are raising our children upright in the Lord, when they grow old, they will not depart from it. And so let us invest in those relationships. Let's take advantage of the time that we've been given to do just that. Perhaps there are things, material possessions, projects, thoughts, ideas that God has entrusted to you over the years that you have neglected. You haven't taken care of them. And maybe God has given you this time so that you can go back. Maybe it's a book that you were supposed to read. Maybe it was a painting you were supposed to paint. Maybe it is a piece of furniture that you were supposed to restore. Whatever it is, God has given you this time so that you can be a good steward of that which He entrusted to you long ago. So set aside the excuses of having no more time and go do it. Maybe God gave you this time because you need to invest it in you. Maybe you have been running so ragged because that is the way of the world. You've been chasing that gold ring for too long and not been able to catch it. And you're wearing out. And because you're wearing out, you are no longer being an effective witness to the gospel message of Christ. And so maybe God is giving you this time so that you can just take a personal time out and rest and relax. One thing I can promise you is that God did not give us this time so that we can simply proverbially bury it in the backyard. He didn't give it to us so that we can binge watch our favorite TV shows on Netflix and sit on the couch for 8 hours a day. He didn't give it to us so that we can get so wrapped up in the news coverage of what's going on that we lose ourselves by focusing on the things of this world and not on the things of Christ. God gave us this time, a blessing from Him, so that we would in turn use it to be a blessing to others as we glorify God. That is the reason why those servants were given the gold so that they could bring glory to their master. And it's the reason why we've been given this time so that we can bring glory to Christ. And so I ask you simply this. As you find yourselves with more time on your hands than you had expected, how are you using your time? Are you using it and just frittering it away? Doing things that won't make a bit of difference tomorrow, let alone 100 years from now? Are you using it for an eternal purpose, to bring glory, honor, and praise to God so that He would receive the glory and that you would grow in your ability to serve Him as a good and faithful servant? I pray that is precisely what you are doing, that you are seeking Him daily and asking for His guidance on how to be a better steward of what He has blessed you with today. That is God's message today for God's people. And all the church said, Amen. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you so much for the precious gift of time that you have blessed us with. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit who abides in us will enlighten us, Lord, to show us the best way to use this time in accordance with the gifts that you have blessed us with, in accordance with the abilities that you have given us. May we use this time wisely, understanding that we will be judged simply on how we used it in accordance with what we have been blessed. But may we use it, Father, always with our eyes towards you. May we use it knowing that it is our purpose in life to glorify you. And may we do that, Lord, with joy and gladness in our heart, with a love for your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, to the people of God and God's church, here on Dufusky and wherever this message finds you, I pray that you have a great day of worship today. I pray that you find God's use for these extra minutes and hours and days that he has blessed you with. We don't know how long it's going to go on for. This time could end tomorrow, but frankly, tomorrow's promised to no one, and so our time might end tomorrow. But either way, we will be held to account, just as he held his servants to account in the parable of the talents. So we will one day kneel before our Lord Jesus Christ and have to answer to him. Don't fret about that. Instead, rejoice in what he's given you. My friends, may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds and cause you to love him more dearly today than ever before. And as your heart bursts with that love, may you share it with your neighbors so that they can see that bright and shining light of Christ leading them down the path of salvation. And may you be his instrument for that today. I ask this and I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.